The Shabbat, we read Parashat Kedoshim, and we also commemorated the loss of 6 million Kedoshim on Yom HaShoah just this last week. Let's talk about Kedusha and living a life of Kedusha. There is a Reform rabbi by the name of Emil Fackenheim who survived the Holocaust, and he argued after the Holocaust that there is a 614th mitzvah, and that mitzvah is to not give Hitler a posthumous victory. Don't let him win. Practically, this meant, how do you not let Hitler win? Marry Jewish, build Jewish families. And we certainly agree with this statement of Emil Fackenheim. But for us as Orthodox Jews, we certainly seek out more than just marrying Jewish. So what is our 614th mitzvah? And in this parasha, Parashat Kedoshim, the very first pasuk, Kedoshim to you, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem, Moshe commands the Jewish people, you should be holy, just like God is holy. What is this notion of Kedusha? What does Kedoshim to you teach us? Now, there's a story about Rav Ephraim Oshri. Rav Oshri was a survivor of the Holocaust. He was a Rav during the Holocaust who used to field questions, terrible, heart-wrenching questions that he received about how to live Jewish life during, in the ghetto and during terrible, terrible circumstances. And Rav Oshri compiled his writings. He actually buried them under the Kavno Ghetto, came back to retrieve them in 1959, and he published them in his Sheilot Tshuvot Mima'amakim, which can be found today on Hebrew Books. And there's a story that I heard from a member of our community, Joe Schreiber, who was a colleague by the name of Rabbi Yisrael Moshe Sif, who was a Rebbe at Hafter Yeshiva High School in Long Island. And he used to bring his Talmidim to Rav Oshri after Friday night tefillah, to receive a bracha. And he once asked them, do you have a Holocaust Yom HaShoah program in your school? And he said, of course we do. And Rav Oshri told them, please make sure, don't just teach them that we died al Kiddush Hashem. Teach them that we lived al Kiddush Hashem. And Rav Oshri's tshuvot capture how people lived al Kiddushat Hashem, even during harrowing circumstances during the Holocaust. And so we have to seek out Kedusha in our own lives, as the Torah teaches us, Kedoshim to you, but also in order to live on, to continue the Emunah and the Kedusha of those who were killed in the Holocaust. Now, what is Kedusha? In the parasha, it's interesting, there are three ideas we could pull out of Kedoshim to you. Number one, Kedoshim to you is something that you strive for. It's something that you seek out. There's movement to it. Kedoshim to you, you shall be holy. You shall seek out holiness. It's not something that a person achieves in an ultimate sense. It's something that we're constantly seeking out. The second idea that I think one can draw from this is that Kedoshim to you is based on the performance and achievement, both in areas of mitzvot, ben adam l'makom, and ben adam l'chaver mitzvot, between us and God, and between us and our fellow communal members. Kedoshim to you, if you want to be kadosh, you have to excel in both of these areas. The third idea is what Ramban Nachmanides teaches us. Ramban tells us, imagine a situation of a person who performs all of the mitzvot. They daven in the morning, they put on their tefillin, and they make brachot before they eat. But there's a very large part of our day that we could call this dvar reshut. There are no commandments related to many parts of the day. In theory, I could sit and watch football all day, I could drink alcohol, I could eat meat all day. Am I following the Torah? Am I violating the Torah? In practice, no. I'm not violating any Yisurim in the Torah. And yet, am I really living a life of Kedusha? And the Ramban tells us that beyond the 613 mitzvot of the Torah, there's a concept called Kedoshim Tihiyu. And Kedoshim Tihiyu means that a person pursues spiritual excellence, spiritual ambition, to maximize one's spiritual connection in every area of life, in every relationship, in everything that we do. A person can, in theory, swear and curse. There's no prohibition in the Torah against cursing. And yet, if a person wants to bring Kiddushah into their lives, they have to guard their mouth. And this is true in every area, in every relationship in our lives. It's to go beyond, to do more than what is demanded of us. From the 613 mitzvot in the Torah, we have to think of the mitzvot as the floor, and we need to try to strive for the ceiling. Now, what's interesting, again, is that the Rambam says that we do not count this as one of the 613 mitzvot, again, because it hovers above. And I think we can count this as our 614th mitzvah, because we need to bring this into every area of our life. There's a story about the Baba Sali. Rabbi Yisrael Abuchatzera, who's a great mikubal, from of Moroccan origin, made aliyah. And there's a story about him and his son-in-law, Rav David Yehudayov. He once saw his son-in-law come out from the bathroom, and he washed his hands, putting his hands under the water, under the Beres Mayim. But he didn't actually wash with a kli. So the Baba Sali asked his grandson, why don't you wash three times with a kli? And his son-in-law responded. He said, this halakha is not quoted in the Talmud. It's not quoted in the Sifrei Halakha. It's not, most poskim don't quote it either. You just need to wash your hands, but you don't actually need to wash with a kli. So the Baba Sali responded, Kiddusha ani mevakesh v'larak halakha. He says, I know it's not quoted in the halachic sources, but I seek out much more than halakha. I seek out kiddusha. And that's what we need to strive for in our own lives. Rav Eliezer Berkovitz, who is a great Talmudist and halachist and theologian in the 20th century, he wrote a book, Faith After the Holocaust, in which he addresses challenges about how to understand what happened in the Holocaust from a theological perspective. He then wrote a second book called With God in Hell, Judaism in the Ghettos and the Death Camps. And in Faith After the Holocaust, he tries to address, for those who have lost their faith, how can you somehow still believe in God after the Holocaust? But with God in Hell, he examines something else. He captures the stories of those who lived with faith during the Holocaust. And he says, we need to hold on to what they did. We need to learn from the power of Jewish faith to our own lives. So he sort of changes the focus in his second work to focus on those who lived with faith during the Holocaust. I want to share an incredible story about Rav Yosef Kahneman. Rav Kahneman was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Panovich Yeshiva, and there's an incredible story related to his life. Now, I'm thinking of Rav Kahneman because, first of all, his Yahrzeit is coming up in just a few days. Number two, and this is a fascinating piece of history, the Panovich Yeshiva, which is one of the great Lithuanian yeshivot, still exists today in Bnei Brak, was located in a place called Mariupol, Ukraine, which is in the news today. Mariupol, Ukraine, has been destroyed and decimated by Putin and Russian forces over the last few months. And the Panovich Yeshiva actually fled to Mariupol during World War I and stayed there during the interwar years until in 1941, when they had to flee from there as well. The Nazis ultimately destroyed all the Bachorim of the yeshiva, except for seven who remained and survived. Now, Rav Kahneman, during the war, found himself in Palestine at the time, and he was collecting funds for the yeshiva, and he couldn't make it back to the yeshiva, and it would have been very dangerous to do so. So he stayed in Israel. Most of his family was wiped out, as well as, again, all of his Talmidim. And in 1944, he decided that he needed to rebuild Jewish life and Torah life in Eretz Yisrael. And so he started the Panovich Yeshiva, the wing, in Eretz Yisrael in Bnei Brak, with just a few Talmidim. And to this day, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of Talmidim studying in Panovich. Maybe there are too many students in Panovich, which is a story in of itself, but that's for another time. But Rav Kahneman was an incredible figure who not only built yeshivot, but also orphanages. He took care of those in need. He took care of his Talmidim in incredible fashion. He was a person who maximized his spiritual life. He used to say that he was doing everything he could with his 21 fingers, using his feet and his hands, and also the finger of Hashem that he felt was Yad Hashem, which he felt was helping him throughout everything that he pursued. And so he was an incredible figure. He died in 1969, and he is a model of a person who achieved Kedusha, who sought out Kedusha, helped to build Mekomot of Torah for Am Yisrael, especially in the post-war years. And he is somebody who sought out Kedusha. The other reason I'm thinking about him at this time, I remember my Rav from Ma'ale Adumim, Rav Chaim Sabato, telling us that in Panovich, to this day, they still fly a flag over the Panovich Yeshiva on Yom Ha'atzma'ut. Why is this? Because Rav Kahaneman recognized the great miracle of Medinat Yisrael, and he felt tremendous hakarat hatov to our Medinat Yisrael, our beloved Medinat Yisrael, and therefore, to this day, they still fly an Israeli flag over Panovich. Bezrat Hashem, shenizkeh, we should be zocheh to live lives of kedusha, to continue what was lost in the Holocaust, and remember the kedusha that they lived with they lived al kedusha Hashem. They died and they lived on kedusha Hashem, and we should also be zocheh to live al kedusha Hashem. And these are important ideas that we think about in this week between Yom HaShoah and Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzmaut, shenizkeh legeula shleima b'mehrah bimeravi amenu. Amen.